Surviving Life with the Van Billies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Welcome to SLWV with myself, Danny Van Billy, ready to go. It's time to kick off with SLWV. You hanging in with Mr. Van Billy. Lady V will be back in studio with us next week. All right, so for today, already we are shocked, okay? If you tuned in just now, there's all the conversations, an attempted murder on President Trump. I don't know, he's a very controversial figure. In many ways, on the one hand, I think all the Christians are like, why is it him? Why is this the one who is somehow standing up for the Lord? You know, could we not find someone else? At the same time, others are like, okay, with the radical stuff that's happening in America, they need someone radical. Now, I'm just saying, may the Lord help us as humanity, you know, because before you even go into a person, before we make it person specific, murder of a president is just not right. So even the attempted murder of a president is not right. A lot of prophetic words going out and all of that. We're just sitting here praying for the countries, praying for our own country, that the Lord will stand not just in the gap, but will lead the spiritual leaders in the right way. I'm not one to endorse political parties or figures or anything like that, because I just think politics is dirty. But what I want from us as believers, you know, to really begin to take politics seriously when we pray, because those are the things that decide your life. You know, whether you like politics or not, the laws you live by are being decided by your politicians. So it should be your own vested interest to pray for them and to stand in the gap. A quick song by Sissy Winans and we'll be back. And everywhere that I go, I'm not alone, mighty God, I know you're with me. Hillsong, Lord, I Give Myself on SLWV with myself, Danny Van Billy. And I know what you are wondering right now. What is the topic, Mr. V? Well, it's time to go into our topic for the day. We are talking about serving, all right? And not just serving anyway, but serving in the church body, all right? So a lot of times we understand that serving is part of the Christian walk. In fact, we served a master, Jesus Christ, who was a servant leader. He took time to wash the feet of his disciples. And it is only natural for us to want to serve, and not just to want to serve from a bad place, but to want to serve from a good place, you know, to give of ourselves on a Sunday, Some of us in different ministries, looking after children, you know, whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, service and Christianity cannot be separated. But there is a problem that we are observing that is slowly creeping into the church. And this problem is not serving, but leaders who love to be served in an unhealthy manner. Okay? Now, I need to tread very carefully when I'm talking about this, because we can't leave this topic as general. Because all of you will come and with ideas of what unhealthy looks like and all of that. Yet, Zintle has already sent me, just fire emojis. Now, serving is a brilliant thing. It's just so brilliant. And it's how we learn. It's how we grow. It's how we give back. And it's also how we walk as believers. Now, the unhealthy version of serving comes when a leader forgets that they are called to serve the body of Christ and not just to be served. Okay? And we see this as well in politics, you know, especially in African politics, where our leaders can forget that the position of kingship, the position of president, is for you to give back to your people. And we see this in scripture where kings can lose their ways and make it about them being served, and their taxes are harsh to a point where the people either rebel or they start to cry out to the Lord. Now, when I come back, I'm going to give you an example of how serving can be bad in a church setting for a marriage. Stay tuned. SLWV, you hang out with Danny Van Billy, and we're about to go in. What happens when serving becomes inappropriate? Okay, and we're talking about the context of the church. All right, so before I do that, since we're talking about the context being the church, we need to start in scripture. And we're going to go to Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subjected to your own husband as to the Lord. Let me pause. Be subjected, be submitted to your own husband as to the Lord. I love how the Bible is clear to say your own husband. And it doesn't substitute your husband for your pastor, for your prophet, for your leader, for your choir leader, for the one leading you in serving the Lord. It starts by saying your own husband. Now, this might sound weird to you. You see, but Danny, why are you emphasizing that? Many times when a husband sees his wife more submitted to a spiritual leader than the husband at home, that's a problem. That is unscriptural. And it is something that if it is happening, you cannot say, you cannot justify it biblically. You know, the Bible is so careful to separate married people from unmarried people. And to say that those who are not married, be it male or female, their priorities should be to serve the Lord. And in that priority, that will also mean your pastors. It will mean, whoever the Lord has put in place to lead you in that time. But it is very clear to separate married individuals. To say, these ones, the order is different. It's first the Lord, then it's Jesus, it's the husband, it's the wife. So in between those four, a prophet cannot enter. A pastor cannot enter. Now, the two and the household can together go and be submitted to a church as a household. Are you seeing what I'm saying? All right. I don't want to preach. I want to stick to scripture. All right. The scripture continues to say, for the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Once our service is diverted from Jesus to how much we can please and serve any man or woman of God, something has gone wrong. I'll be back with this topic because this is where a lot of marriages are breaking at the footsteps of our churches. 071-364-0376. I want to hear from you. I want us to engage, you know. And I can already hear someone thinking, yeah, but this one is tricky, you know. And yes, it is tricky. And I'll explain what's tricky about it. So please come on, join me in the conversation. Send me a voice note, 071-364-0376. If you've had a good experience in this regard, let me know. If you've had a bad experience, let me know. Let's take it from there.
With you all the way on Impact 103.
Gateway Worship with Praise the Lord on SLWV with myself, Danny Vambilly, standing in for me and Letitia Vambilly, who will be back in studio with us. When she comes back, she'll tell you where she's been, what she's been doing, what the Lord has been doing with her. You want to hear this out. It's going to be absolutely amazing. We're talking about serving, you know, and how the concept of serving is absolutely biblical. We are called to serve the Lord. We are called to serve each other. We are called to serve one another in the concept of marriage. We are called to serve our parents. We are called to serve our local church, our pastors, the poor, the widow. You know, all of this is right. And then we were talking about what happens when it goes wrong. Okay? Now, I like to share testimonies and experiences. Now, as you know, my wife and I are involved in counseling. And there are times when we've needed counseling ourselves. I mean, we've been married 10 years now. And we slowly began to pick up a trend, okay, where you find pastors who themselves are submitted to the Lord and to each other in their marriage will know the boundaries of marriage when counseling a married couple. In other words, there are certain things they won't tell you to do without the full approval of both the husband and the wife, because they understand the authority pattern. They understand that as a pastor, as a man or a woman of God who's called to walk with the sheep, I cannot change the order that I see in scripture. And one of those orders are God, Jesus, the church, the husband, and the wife. Now, when I'm saying the church, I'm not saying your church comes before. In fact, let me read it from scripture. Husbands, love your wife, seek the highest good for her, and surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Okay, no, let's actually back it up before. I'm still talking about the wives. Wives, be subjected to your own husband as a service to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subjected to Christ, so also wives shall be subjected to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as the head of the house. So sometimes what can happen is when a couple is going through problems and they are submitted to a pastor who doesn't understand this principle, they can want to position themselves as being more important than the husband. And then for me, what I've observed is the Lord then does not honor whatever instruction is given, even if the instruction is good, because you cannot corrupt the foundations that have been put in Scripture. Now, there are times when a husband is wrong, but the Lord says to us as the counselors that you still need to honor him in his absence so that I, the Father, can act, because you are staying within the boundaries of headship that I've put in place. And this is where it gets very complex, because we sometimes want to help by going and catching the Ark of the Covenant when it's falling. And we've seen this in Scripture where the priests were the only one permitted to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And when someone who thought they were doing a good thing when the Ark was falling and wanted to catch it, they died on the spot. You cannot break Scripture because you think you are doing a good thing. And there are rules you need to have as a counselor or as a pastor. Number one, don't badmouth husbands or wives when you're counseling the other. Instead, always be neutral, open, waiting that the Lord will, because you can't fix a marriage with one person anyway. And how will you fix something so complex when you walk in dishonor towards either one? So when the wife begins to serve the pastor above the husband, something is wrong. I'll be back. I've got more to say. Oh man, testimonies are coming in from last week's show. We're going to read. Please remember, if you want to send us your voice note regarding this topic, you can stay anonymous and just give us like a 1 minute feedback from you, and we're going to read it.
Come alive to the beat of life with Impact 103.
Sarah Reeves with More Than Enough. There's an amazing testimony that came in. Oh man, I can't wait to share it with you right after the news, okay? You cannot change the dial before that. You're still hanging out with Mr. Vambilly on SLWV. I need to play you a voice note that came in that I really think is the heart of the conversation today. And it came in from Monga Dube. There it goes.
Yes, good morning, good morning. Yes, it's Monga here. Regardless, regarding the topic that we... It's a very sensitive topic that I've seen it even at my church, especially on things submitted to the pastors and also to the wife pastors, to a point where you find people, they sacrifice time that they need to spend with their families, focusing to the pastors' needs and everything, where people end up forsaking duties that they need to perform. Especially it impacts mostly where you find it's only the in a family marriage setup, it's only the wife that she comes to church and the husband is not at church at all. It really has a very big impact, where you find this time where this other other husband of our one of our church to give the strict orders that you only attend on Sundays, and this is what you have to do and this is what you have not to do. It impacts a lot. I think it needs to be addressed fully and deep, that serving in the house is not all about forsaking also your marital duties and your family duties as well.
There we go. And this is what we're trying to highlight, you know, that there is a corruption that comes when the pastor is served and loved and honored above your spouse. That is unbiblical. If you are doing that, your meeting with the Lord is not going to be very nice. But Mr. Dube raised something very deep here. This is not just about the wives serving in the church. You can also find the husbands who serve the pastor or the female pastor, and they are very kind to her, very gracious, very patient. But at home, oof, very snappy with the wife, not kind, not gracious. And this becomes a problem. And if you are doing this, you are actually harming your partner, because they get to watch you being kind, being gracious to whether it's a pastor or not a pastor, but they're either male or female. So your wife is watching you be kind to another woman, but at home you are mean. Your husband is watching you serving another man, but at home you don't serve. Are you hearing me? And these forms of service becomes a hindrance to the faith of the person you are married to. And that is inappropriate. That is not scriptural. And that's why I had to read it from the scripture. It goes on to say, even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives, being in a sense their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. You know, and we get this wrong sometimes as believers, that we put the church, the service of the church before the spouse that we are married to. And we think the Lord endorses that. The Lord does not endorse that. And there's just no scripture where you'll find endorsing that structure. And, you know, sometimes churches can fall into this and not realizing they've fallen. And it's important. This is why a church needs to have elders. A church needs to have deacons. You know, the different positions, teachers, you know, apostles and prophets who can come back and say, hey, we've gotten this wrong. Let's fix. Because the home is a priority to the Lord. When I come back, we'll touch more on that. Beautiful sounds, Charity Gale featuring Ryan Kennedy, Seed of Faith. Ah, man, I just love the sound. I've been telling you the whole show that there's a testimony that came in from Cindy. She had actually asked us, you know, we asked in last week's show if we still believe in miracles. And she shared a testimony about her friend who was a paraplegic, but one day God told her to stand up and to walk, and it actually happened. Okay. So now she was meant to meet with someone on the very same day. And she was saying, guys, please stand with me in prayer. And I'm going to speak to this man and I'm going to trust the Lord for a miracle. Let me read you what she says, okay? So God sent a man from Durban last week to us in Horwick who thought he is coming to buy a sheep, but God had another plan. I've asked you guys to stand in the gap with me for this man's miracle that day. For God to find me worthy, sanctified vessel of honor, ready for his use on that day. I remember one of the scriptures a listener sent during the show was Jesus said to the paralyzed man, pick up your carpet and go. So this 70-year-old man came with his wife. He had become paralyzed after a hijacking incident. So after telling this Hindu man about my miracle, I told him Jesus says it is finished for him and for him to finish his miracle. I led him to confessing what Jesus did for him and also to ask for forgiveness and to set those free who have wronged him, which he did while weeping terribly, hands in the air. It's then that God reminded me about that scripture. So I opened his specialized Bucky's door and I told him to get out of the car and stand. And the rest is history. As he stood on his own 2 feet with his hands up, give a glory to Jesus. He told me that God granted him his heart's desire today. He is a wealthy man with lots of clothes and shoes who had been asking the Lord to be able to wear those again as he has been in bed in the wheelchair most of the time, only wearing boxers, bare feet. But that morning, he put on his Nike techies, not knowing himself why. His wife was even asking him why. And he said he also doesn't know. But God showed me that he already manifested that God knew he was about to receive his miracle. Being able to stand on his own 2 feet, wearing his techies, since that moment, he became family. He calls me sister, and my husband, he calls brother-in-law. God willing, they will be coming to visit us again, bring us biryani and samosas. Man, I need to go get some good Indian people saved. I want biryani and samosas too. But wow, she sent a photo of the man, and you can see him. He's dressing up again, and he's been healed. We spoke about miracles last week, and here it is, straight up. And I just want to say to all of us, beloved, let's continue to walk by faith. When I come back, we go straight into our topic. Very interesting messages have come, and I do want to hear from you as this section of the show is about the topic. Erica Campbell, a trust and obey. Beloved, there's a message that came in, and oh man, I love this question, but I think the Lord was just like, yo, my children in Pretoria on Impact Radio are in sync. So the one asked the question, the other responded without even knowing the question has been asked, just to tell you we are walking in one spirit. Loki said, good day, brother. Kindly clarify, we should love God more than our spouse, from Moloko. And then Annika sent this message that I really believe just answers that question, because, and I love this clarification, and here it goes.
Good morning, brother. Yes, I think it's very relevant what you're speaking about this morning. I was just thinking that possibly the reason people might do it is because they kind of replace the pastor with God. So they want to devote their lives and they want to serve God above their spouse, but they do it to a person instead of to God. So I think it's important that people should serve God as a priority above their spouse. But if you serve God and if you spend the time with him, he would also bring you closer to your spouse, and not the same with the pastor. So I think the intention might be of the people to actually be more devoted in their faith, but they show it by, like you say, serving the pastor instead of actually being devoted more to God, spending more time with him and serving him rather, which would in the end actually benefit your marriage, in truth. Thank you for you. Have a good day.
Follow us on our social media platforms at Impact 103.
Annika had answered it perfectly. You see, when we say love God first, God cannot be substituted with anyone. All right? What we're saying is this. In your relationship with your husband or your wife, there's going to come a time when you're angry, you're upset, and you're all of this. But then your love for God carries you and points you back to your spouse. Okay? Where you're like, okay, even though they've done this, but my honor of God means I need to love my spouse. I need to pray for them. I need to stand and be patient. And, you know, then you go to 1 Corinthians 13 and everything it says there, you take that and you define what love is and you project that towards your husband or your wife, your spouse. Now, when we make the mistake of substituting God with a man of God, so be it pastor, prophet, apostle, you name it, that's now where we get things wrong. Because in the order, when the Lord created family, he didn't put man or woman of God in between the husband and the wife. There should be no one there. So when we are dealing with problems between the two, one always has to tread carefully and to know that the biblical aim is to restore and to bring them back to the Lord so that the Lord can do the work he needs to do in the spouses. Okay? And we are not to enter in a way of separating or replacing. You are not called to honor outside of your home anyone above the one that is inside your home. And then the home itself is then called to put God first. And putting God first cannot be substituted for a church or a man or woman of God. I hope that clarification is clear so that no one takes advantage of that space. Because God honors men and women who walk in covenant and in agreement. So you can't say, no, but these ones are saying this, but I don't want this, so I'm just going to do it. Nope. You pray. You wait on the Lord. And if you and your spouse are in different pages, God has both of your number. You know, it's just a lot of us don't believe in prayer anymore. We don't want to pray for our spouses. We've decided this one can't change. And that in itself as well is not biblical.
With you all the way on Impact 103.
You're still with Mr. Van Billy on SLWV. Totally loving the feedback from you guys. You know, I think these conversations are healthy. As believers, sometimes we can misread things. You know, you can, from a genuinely good place, think, you know what, I'm serving the Lord, so, you know, yeah, let me first serve the Lord first, and then my family comes after. And in so doing, you because you, in your heart, you're coming from a good place, you don't see that you're actually doing something that is biblically wrong, you know, and it's not how the Lord wants you to walk with your spouse. And this is why it's so important for us as believers to come together to reinvestigate how we are walking, because no one is perfect. We're all being perfected. We'll all get things right. We'll all get things wrong. And we're also not talking from a place of judgment, you know, but just self-awareness. Because you could be injuring your partner not knowing that you are. And one of the things we do, and this doesn't just extend to your partner, this also goes to your children, you know, and a lot of children. So if you are like me, you walk in the counseling space, and you'll find that a lot of pastors' children, they don't hate the church. No, they don't hate the church. But they struggle with how some pastors put the church ahead of their families. And we have to have that conversation to say, pastors, be careful. I mean, you know, I think in every field, there's a demand, okay? Whether you're a pastor, you're a doctor, you're an engineer, you are going to be demanded, okay? But it's important for you as the adult to cut out a space and say, this space is for my family, and to fight to not interrupt that flow. Because in the long run, when you do, you teach your children that they are not as important to you as the church or work and all of that. It's tricky. It's very tricky. But when you now go further into a marital position, man, you can't take out the good dishes for your pastors, but you don't do it for your husband. You know, you can't be patient with your female pastors, but you're impatient with your wife. These are things that destroy marriages, and they communicate to your partner that you don't find them as important as who you perceive to be a leader in the church. It's a loophole. It's a blind spot that we need to highlight so we all do better. Austin French with God is Good. Let's go. SLWV, hang out with Danny Van Billy. Your messages are coming in. Someone said something so cool here. Let me quickly play it. Anik.
Do not do the one good thing and neglect the other good things. There must be a balance. That's why God says we must ask Him for wisdom in every situation.
Beautiful. You know, balance and wisdom. You know, man, balance and wisdom is always something we're going to seek from the Lord. Leanne says, afternoon, thanks for this discussion, Danny. The very issue is plaguing my marriage at the moment. Thanks for reminding me of the power of prayer. Beautiful. And I think prayer, beloved, prayer should never be taken lightly. Sadly, we've gone into a time and age where the sermon on Sunday is more important than taking time to pray. You know, a lot of believers will not waste time to go hear a man or a woman of God speaking, but man, we do not devote time to pray for the Holy Spirit to intervene in our marriages, in the behavior of our partners. And you know what I find interesting is how you think you should fix it tends to not be how God instructs you to fix things. You know, and we have to be okay with accepting that we are not all-knowing. We do not know more than God. And we have to humble ourselves. You know, the humility of humbling yourself and praying. Isn't it interesting that prayer and humility are connected? You know, what's the opposite of humility? You know, it's being big-headed. It's thinking you've got the answers. You know, when you think you've got the answers, you'll find yourself reading books, listening to podcasts and all this human knowledge, you know, and even good things like focus on the family, which are brilliant stuff. But if you don't start on your knees, so the Holy Spirit and God can really tell you, listen, Danny, the way forward with you is put your wife first. The way forward with you, Letitia, is put your husband first. And those kinds of personal convictions that can only come from the Lord will come in your time of communion with Him, of prayer with Him, and of devoting prayer for your family. I'm almost out of here. I think the next time I come in is me saying goodbye. So, I hope this has been a learning place for you. I'm just reminding you that you are not called to put any church, any pastor, prophet, apostle, disciple, church, ministry above your family. That's not biblical. You know, it is not biblical. But with the same breath, I'm not saying you are not called to serve. And this is why I started by saying serving is part of Christianity. You know, it's our father, our brother, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We see this relationship of serving and loving. It's just not done at the cost of. Yeah, if you've got any final words, send it to me on 071-364-0376 or send me a voice note. Try to keep it within like a minute and let's hear.
Hi, Impact Radio. This is Joy. I really want to thank you for your amazing program, and it's so important. And as I've celebrated my 42nd wedding anniversary last week, amazing grace, I just want to share with all the married couples that there are times that it's very difficult. It's not all a bed of roses, but as you said, that we have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. There was a time that things were very turbulent in my marriage, and it was very intense, and I was lying on my bed and I was reading, and the Holy Spirit said to me, Joy, read Nehemiah. I said, okay, but all right. So I read Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, and I want to encourage all of you. Maybe it's going to mean so much to you too. And it's all about when he had to go and rebuild the city that was destroyed. And God showed me so clearly by his Holy Spirit that my family was a representation of the city that was destroyed and broken down. And so clearly God gave me instruction, lie down all war weapons, all fighting, come in line and do as I say. It was a command from God. And when you hear a rhema word from God, you are alert and you listen and you obey. And I read the book of Nehemiah, and when I read how he rebuilt the walls and how actually the whole book of Nehemiah is so supernatural, please do read it. I urge you, work on your marriages. Don't give up. It's only going to cause more trouble, and your children are going to be torn apart. Just obey God's word. He will honor you. There is no greater calling than to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Go. I want to encourage all young couples, people who are battling their marriages, be brave, be strong, be very courageous. Go and build up those walls. God will help you. He will send the help that you need. If you read the book of Nehemiah, you will see that he received all the help that he had when he was obedient to go and rebuild the city walls and restore the city.
Radio.co.za.
Wow, thank you so much for that encouraging word from Joy. And I'm playing a song that brought me to tears the first time I heard the song. And I want to call all the uncles, all the father figures, just come on the table. And when the song is ending, I will say my goodbyes and give my final words.
I just want to be like you, walk like, talk like, even think like you, the only one I could look to. You're teaching me to be just like you. Well, I just got to be like you.